Silva, you absolutely suck.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk, episode 48. We are brought to you, as always, by FightStarIreland.ie, the fighter's choice. Everything you need under one roof, be it
shin guards,
testicle holders, gloves, shin pads, whatever you want. Check them out. They're obviously good. Because they're with obviously Fight Talk. And then as well, we're brought to you by MMAMix.com for all your MMA needs. They're obviously good because they're with obviously Fight Talk. This week, I am joined by always Mr. Reliable. Never misses a show because we cancel it if he can't make it. Mr. Hashtag Win Decision, Robert Palin.
I don't think Anderson Silva sucks.
Either do I. I was just doing a soundbite. And we are brought, as always, on, as always, sometimes when he bothers his arse comes on, the beautiful velvet voice all the way from Uck. Mr. Daniel Mulvihedy.
How are we doing, gents? Good to be here again.
How are we keeping, Danny? Have a nice Christmas and a good New Year?
Yes, Happy New Year to you guys too. All good?
Yeah, 2017. Where has time
mental,
gone?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It has gone. It has gone too quick. But yeah. Hey, here's to a good year. And new studio for you guys, ready to rock and roll.
That's it. As we keep saying, it's the podcast money. But yeah, bringing it in, this show, obviously a lot happened over the festive period. So we'll your show rundown, we'll have your obviously quick fire news. We will have your UFC 207 recap. We'll be talking to Dan in our referee's corner there about illegal knee strike and grounded opponent rule. Little people were confused on UFC in regards to it. We will also have an example of a incident that you were involved in, Dan, so we might be catching you off guard with that, but an illegal strike in a bout that you were refereeing. And we'll be looking ahead at the year of 2017 with breakout stars. But before we go any further, folks, if you like what you're listening to, if you enjoy the sound of my voice, doubt it, Robert's voice or Dan's voice or the profanity of Carl Doran when he's here missing an action, hit like, subscribe, review, do it all. Share it with your friends. That's how the word gets out there. So on the little tab, if you're watching on YouTube, down your bottom right corner, it'll say obviously Fight Talk. Hit on that. Hit subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, obviously Fight Talk, at @talk_fight on the Twitter, and everywhere else we're obviously Fight Talk. So forgetting all the advertisements, let's look at your quickfire news. So straight off the bat for me, this is one that we reported and we were getting pretty excited about, was Nick Diaz, apparently, according to Joe Rogan, has turned down a fight with Robbie Lawler, and so we weeped. What do we think of that disappointment?
Go ahead, Don.
Has that actually been confirmed, or is it just what Joe Rogan said?
It's Joe Rogan, isn't it? So we can only take, you know, we're taking it with a pinch of salt, as in what do we think? But yeah, it was Joe Rogan.
If Ariel hasn't said it, then I guess it's not true. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I would love to have seen that fight. What advantages has it got for, or benefits has it got for Robbie? Not too sure. But obviously for Nick, it'll be a good one-off fight. And another moneymaker. He likes the super fights. He's already said that. But if it is true that he's turned it down, there must be something behind that. I don't know. It's a hard one to say. Yeah. But I would love to see that fight, and I hope it does go ahead.
It's a rematch as well. I'm kind of disappointed. Was that in our rematches list that we done that one?
Yeah, we're talking about fights you'd love to see.
We'd love to see. That's a rematch that I would love to see. The first fight was a great fight, and it was an amazing knockout, highlight reel finish. Yeah, Nick, I'm not sure what type of fight Nick wants. Does he want a fight? I believe he said he does, but what type of fight does he want? Is he looking for a title fight? I think it's hard to...
The only angle I could come at with Nick is he might be saying, oh, well, Lawler's coming off a loss. That's the only argument. But he's coming off a loss to...
Two losses now.
To Anderson Silva as well.
Yeah, he's coming off two losses.
Yeah, so, you know, I know a super fight, but Robbie Lawler is a super fight. It's a great fight.
He is, and since Robbie Lawler got back to the UFC, he's a much bigger name than he used to be. That's a huge fight. And Nick Diaz on his own is a huge fight. So that's definitely a fight I'd love to see. It's unfortunate that it has fell through and it's not going to happen. I do think Rogan...
I
do believe Rogan in this case, because he kind of... I'm pretty sure he backtracked when he said it. He's like, oh, I don't think I should have said that. But okay. Yeah, I would have loved to see that fight, but it's just unfortunate. That
yeah, like it, for me, Diaz isn't really in the bargaining. He doesn't have a great bargaining chip to say who he wants to fight and who he doesn't want to fight.
In a way, he doesn't, but he's still Diaz and he's still, you know, a big star. So
yeah, well, talking of avoiding fights and stuff like that as well, Khabib Nurmagomedov basically makes Tony Ferguson the honey dick offer. And Ferguson was saying, because of the money difference, that he wouldn't fight Khabib unless he's on the same money. So Khabib was turning around and said, yo, I'll give you the $200,000 myself if you fight me, so let's just make the fucking fight happen. So what do we think of that one?
If that's true, then fair play to Khabib, man. He definitely wants that fight. He definitely wants to get to Conor ASAP. I mean, if I was Tony, yeah, accept the money, but make sure you train your ass off to make sure, you know, you give a good fight, you know, worth the money. If it's true, that'd be pretty awesome. It'd be the first time, and it'd be nice to see if a fighter accepts it and does take the money and get paid by the UFC as well as by the fighter. But, hey.
I wonder what way that would work tax-wise, but that's not my job. Yeah, but, look, again, like, Khabib, they keep saying, I'm listening to shows like the likes of Joe Rogan and stuff like that, and they're saying, you know, Khabib's not the pull, and he's not pay-per-view. Brendan Schaub is saying he's not pay-per-view the way Tony Ferguson isn't pay-per-view either. It's not a big fight. Khabib said something along the lines of, yeah, I'll fight Ferguson, take that plastic belt, and then bake the head off Conor for the real belt.
The real belt, yeah.
So, again, you know, you got to give it to Khabib, you know what I mean? He was never silent, but he's becoming very outspoken all of a sudden, isn't he? He's constantly hitting the headlines with great quotes and stuff.
Yeah, I think, like, it's the fight game and it's prize fighting. I'm sure money matters to him, but I think he's genuinely one of them guys who really does value the sporting aspect of the sport as well. I don't think, you know, it's ever going to happen where a fighter gives money to do a fighter to fight. It's just not going to happen.
Well, unless you're fucking Kevin Gastelum and you just can't make fucking weight and you give your purse out all the fucking time.
Exactly, yeah. But I don't think, you know, it doesn't actually going to be a little brown envelope handover under the table type job. But
he is Russian, so you never know.
But I do think that Khabib probably would actually offer that. Yeah. Not that the UFC would allow or a commission or whatever, but yeah, another great fight. Two of the best fighters in the division. I'd love to see it. I think it will happen. I do think it will happen, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time before it does happen.
I think it's the number one fight in the division, though, isn't it? Outside of the title implications, fight, yeah. You know. And again, of course, UFC being what they're doing, the Oprah Winfrey's, everybody gets a belt. So if you are on a fight card, there's a good possibility that you're going to get a belt of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a fight. I think it's got to happen, and it's a great fight. It's Khabib.
Do you think the UFC will go to Russia this year?
Well, that's what the Dana White was over there, wasn't he? And they had a big meeting.
Apparently so. Yeah.
And the rumor was McGregor Khabib in Russia.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
Yeah, the internet is a wonderful and beautiful place, and I believe everything I read on it. So, yeah, this seems like the longest 2 minutes ever. You have a set of three minutes. Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, Laura?
Yeah, it's only meant to be two when there's only three of us. God, we had a plan, Rob.
One job, Rob.
Yeah. A little bit of tear to the eye news this weekend was Mike Goldberg called his last UFC event at UFC 207. The longtime announcer will be missed by most. Some people are delighted he's gone, as he was the voice and sound of UFC play-by-play for so long. Now, I was reading, his daughter put out a tweet saying that it was disgusting that after so many years of working for the UFC that her father wasn't allowed say something at the end. Yeah. You always hear they wrap up the show and Goldie sort of says whatever, and you could tell there was a bit more sediment than everything he was saying to everyone. I personally are going to miss Goldberg. I love the way he plays. Yeah, he makes a few little mistakes, like, oh, he's speaking the Portuguese, and like, no, Mike, that's Japanese, you should know that. I said, yeah, I'm married to a Japanese girl. But like, he's fantastic, you know what I mean? And it's all over, you know, and who looks fairly identical. It's just, you know what I mean?
It's genius.
Ingrained into the UFC, and you know, I'm really disappointed, but did you see his last four people he followed or something?
Yeah, Bellator, WSOS.
Yeah, 1FC. And Rich Franklin.
Fuck off.
Yeah, so, you know, fair play to me.
Who knows? Who knows where he will go, even if he does go into an MMA show? Who knows? I don't know. Rumors. I don't know if you guys heard anything.
He was calling ice hockey games as well, and he's done the odd NFL game as well, didn't he? But like Goldie, I love Goldie, and I really will miss Goldie on the mic. And I just love, I only put up a tweet, not to, or a picture on Facebook watching the UFC one night, and it says, don't we all want somebody to look into our eyes the way Goldie looks into Joe Rogan's eyes?
Yeah, yeah, beautiful.
You know, yeah. It's a love story untold.
Yeah.
But I honestly think Joe Rogan will miss him too. Like,
oh, of course.
Correct him, like, oh, beautiful hook. That was a straight white, that was a straight mic, right? You know what I mean? He's just brilliant, like, you know. Yeah. So
it'd be interesting to see who Joe will work with and how he bonds with him.
Yeah,
well, the rumors are man Jim Rohn.
Him and Goldberg had a way to work, didn't they?
I don't know your man Jim Rohn. So
the weird thing is, he's not really a play-by-play guy. He's a presenter, like on TV shows and stuff like that. So I don't know how that's going to work out, and I don't think he has the style. But he is a big fan of MMA. I thought
they would have went with Morrow.
Nah, he's with WWE.
Yeah, he's WWE
now.
Yeah,
get him in.
Yeah, I think it's weird that they've done it. You know, there we go.
I'd like to see Stephen Quadros.
Oh, that'd be
Joe
great.
Rogan, the fight professor.
Love it.
I'd like to see me.
Would you?
I'd play by play. Fuck it, my clan wars experience. Shout out, Paul Mack. There we go. Yeah, I commentate on Clan Wars, and sure, fuck it, why not? Fucking try your name.
But I did think they should have given Goldberg a better send off.
Oh, 100%.
There was not much hype about it. There was no interviews. Hey, this is your last show. What was your favourite fights that you commented on? Nothing like that.
I wonder, is there a hush hush contract in it as well? You know, because I thought he would have been on MMA Hour and stuff this week as well.
2 points. I told you we should have taken 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And the second point is that maybe he just didn't want to say it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Goldie is known for being like the utmost professional, you know, plugging all his corn nuts and
Kenny the corn nuts. Can you imagine when he's there? And in the new year, we have BJ Penn taking on the dangerous Yair Rodriguez. That's UFC, and we can't wait to be there. You're going, you're not there, Goldie.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but ever professional. And you have to say, he was an absolute pro calling the fights. And, you know, I love the man. Other action over the weekend was John Fitch defeats Jake Shields by unanimous decision to retain his World Series of Fighting title. But in his post-fight interview stated, this is a quote, so bear with me with my scrolling down. It's a big deal for me defending my title. I've been dealing with a lot of medical shit, I presume, it says explicative, over the years. I got a funny reading on my brain MRI before this fight. There's a good chance this is my last fight, said a teary-eyed Fitch. I have to talk to some doctors and some neurologists and people. I've been dealing with a lot of medical stuff lately. There is a good chance this is my last fight. So there is somebody who is an absolute veteran of the game, being in there with everybody, and that was a very dominant victory as well over another veteran in Jake Shields. So Dan, this was your piece that you were like, I want on the news, so tell us.
The interesting bit was that he actually acknowledged that he's got, obviously everyone acknowledged they got injuries, but he's actually taking it seriously, and for him to actually publicly come out with it saying, look, I'm going to go and get it sorted out. If I don't, and if I can't get it sorted, especially with the brain scan thing, that was the interesting thing that he said, that he flagged up before the fight. I don't know, one would have thought maybe they would have gone for a second scan, because as we know, in Bama, a couple of things flagged up for some of the guys, and they had a second scan, and some guys got pulled, some guys were able to fight. But it's just nice that he acknowledged it, and he's going to go away, and you know, he's been in this game, as you guys know, and some of the younger listeners won't even know who he is, or some of the guys he fought, especially when he fought back in the UFC as well, him and Jake. So he's been in absolute wars, and you know, I hope he doesn't retire. I hope he has a couple of more fights in him, and he does get it sorted out, whatever it is. Yeah. But if not, fair play to him. You know, he's done good for the sport, and he's finished on top. You know,
yeah. I was just looking up. Obviously, when we were doing this, you look up some of the stats and stuff behind him as well. He is 38, and he's turning 39 next month. So you know, time is ticking. The one thing that no fighter will ever beat, and that's time, you know. So it might be, if he's getting stuff like that, it might be, what a way to go out, you know what I mean, a dominant performance over Jake Shields. So I honestly think if that is it, and he's being smart about it, why go on and fight on, you know what I mean? He was one of the pioneers out of AKA as well, an absolute legend. And if you haven't seen him, unfortunately, when he was in the UFC, there was a pretty decent guy at the top of the card. His name has lost me for some reason. But, you know, apart from if GSP wasn't on top, just in case people thought we didn't know, if GSP wasn't on top, John Fitch would have ruled the UFC.
Francis Carmont.
But yeah, so that's Fitchy gone.
It was nice that he didn't actually say that before. He actually thought, "Oh, this might be my last fight."
Yeah,
you know, he done.
You
it
hate
well.
That. You hate you, that. Damn overhead. I've never seen you hate something more. How do you feel about Brad Pickett saying it now, huh? Jesus.
I understand where he's coming from, but again, I just like to see people fighting and announce that as your final fight afterwards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Fitch, I don't think he's made as much money as he probably should have, especially considering he was number two fighter in the world at welterweight for the longest time when he was in the UFC.
He was one of the guys that was fighting, though, wasn't he, for fighter rights from the early days.
Bit of music for you there.
I was just playing a little bit of intimate music there. And our last quick fire news, I'd say the 3 minutes could be used on this one, in fairness, Rob, Royce went down in Japan, as only Japan can do. This was absolutely farcical at times, amazing at other times. A lot of people saying it's amazing what steroids can do, because Mirko Krokop went and won the open weight. I thought that was a little harsh. I'm just saying what people said. I didn't say it.
Okay.
I love Krokop. But did you hear Joe Warren when Krokop beat Muhammad King Mo? He turned around and he says, overhand rigged. He called it.
What?
He called it an overhand rigged because he's saying it's rigged. He sat there, like, he was going on about King Mo. Don't get me wrong, we're big fans of King Mo, you know what I mean? But he was going on about how King Mo will win this fight, what he's doing, great game plan, doing this. Oh my God, it's over. What the hell happened? He was almost like, Fedor.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he was like, and Krokop catches him with a big overhand rigged. You're going, what? And then, like, when Krokop.
Are you sure?
Yes, 100%.
Was it not, like?
Check the internet. And then when Krokop was walking down to the cage.
That's amazing.
The first guy turned around. The other guy who was commentating. Who?
I said the ring, not the cage.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, fuck you, Dan. when he was walking down to the ring, he was coming out with, like, a child holding her hand walking down the cage. And Warren turns around and goes, girlfriend's a bit young, isn't she? On live broadcast,
the baddest man on the planet.
What a fucking lunatic. But yeah, and Ryzen actually put out a tweet going, we cannot be held accountable for what Warren says. Check it out. Overhand rigged.
No, but they said that. They put that tweet out.
And everyone was like, you can be if you keep them.
To be honest, I only watched some of the fights, and I watched them without commentary half of the time because...
Yeah, I turned it off. Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah, I watched without commentary, so I didn't see it, but...
Overhand rigged. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we had the people's main event. We had Gabriel Garcia taking on Yunamoto Hata in what was put down as potential fight of the decade. It lived up when Yamoko came out bouncing off three ropes before Garcia can only be called rape choking her, kneeing her in the face, causing the old lady to think she was back in the Renaissance, to then run to another rope and that fucking knee. What the fuck did we just watch in that fight?
Japanese MMA.
I don't know, man. I think we spoke about it out of the show. First of all, fucking joke. I get it, the entertainment side and whatnot, but you got a 52 or however old she was, 50-something-year-old woman against Gabriel Garcia. It was a beast anyway.
209 she weighed in her. Garcia, 209.
On a serious note, what upsets me is, and I think this came across when we were messaging each other in the group, is that, like, this is a sport, not just like us as officials, but other fighters and promoters working to bring this sport up and for it not to be a mockery. I get it, the entertainment side. You see it on Bellator, you know, the fighters talking trash. You even see it in UFC now. But at least when they turn up in there, they fight. It's not, hey, I'm bouncing on four different ropes, etc. And she could have got seriously hurt. I mean, personally, I thought that referee could have stepped in there a hell of a lot quicker than that.
But did you see, the thing that catches her for me, Dan, was the very when she bounced off the third rope and Garcia just grabbed her. And it was like she was a child trying to get away from, you know what I mean? I don't know, a snatcher. You know what I mean? Yeah. But holy, like, what you said, Dan, I know I'm laughing because it was almost, when you were watching, you were going, what the fuck am I watching? Yeah. And when you look at stuff going on with MMA, like getting into New York and even over here, everything that's going on here in Ireland at the moment with MMA, when you look at the people working so hard to legitimise the sport and then this farcical is put on, but Rob just puts his hands up and goes,
Yep.
It's all Japanese MMA.
It's always been like that, though.
But that doesn't make it right.
But it's always been like that.
I personally, till date, that's the worst I've seen. I mean, it come up on my timeline that that time last year was when Sakuraba fought as well, and he would end up getting a bloody beat. And we were talking about how they just chuck him in punch there to literally be someone's punch bag, the poor sod. And this year, you get that. You get a 50-something-year-old woman who comes out. And then afterwards, I don't know if you saw the interview. Did you see when the other lady come out and called Gabrielle out?
No, I didn't know. I switched at that time.
We might talk about it. It was put up on today on the internet, and she comes out. And yeah, I get it. The whole maybe the WWE thing, etc. But like I said, someone could have got seriously hurt, and it just makes a mockery of it.
But you know what? I'm going to say this now.
Watch next year on Rising or whenever they do the next show. I bet you they'll be the first people, Gabriella versus a man. She'll fight a bloke. Probably 100%.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise it, but like, how the fuck did it? I don't know. It's just, for me, like, don't get me wrong, if she fought like a 52 year old woman who was a 52 year old fight, like, she was a fighter, she had a bit of.
She looked like she was five and four.
But more experience. She looked like an old woman who was just mugged. It looked like a mugging, and loads of people were watching a mugging. That's what it looked like.
It did look like that, yeah.
It was insane. Let's move on to the actual positives. Mirko Krokop wins it with an overhand rigged. Then in the final, he won by a first round stoppage as well. So you got to give it, you know what I mean? Going to Japan. He won the Pride one, 10 years ago? The Open Weight Pride one?
Yeah.
And now he's won the Rising Virtually Pride, let's be honest.
Yeah, to be fair, I love Krokop. Love watching him fight. And it was a good performance. Like, I don't.
King Mao was winning the fight in the first round. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a good fight. Like, it was a very, very good fight. And King Mao is a good opponent for anybody. Mm-hmm. I know that he probably shouldn't be fighting a heavyweight. I've always said that he's very, very small for heavyweight. Very, very small. But it was fine.
Gracie got the big win as well.
That's a big win. Kawajiri doesn't get submitted. That's a big win.
Big win. It was a rear naked choke.
A rigged naked choke.
A rigged naked choke.
He didn't say that as well.
No, he didn't. No. Just check it out, Dan. When you finish tonight, just type in Joe Warren.
It wasn't a rigged.
And just get ready for it. It
I will do. But yeah, like you said, on a positive note, the rest of the card was okay, actually.
The first show, I loved it. I was in work and it was on. Great.
Yeah.
I had it on my screen as I was working away watching the fights. It was fucking awesome. Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was even the same. Well, what's a guy do with Barita that Krokop beat in the second stage?
Yeah.
He was 365 pounds, and the guy he fought in the first belt was 220 pounds or something. I put up a thing on 100 and whatever it is. The maths is terrible there now. It was 179 pounds in the difference or so. 129 pounds in the difference.
Jesus.
That's fucked up.
There was a Demetrius Johnson in the difference.
Japanese MMA, Rob. Japanese MMA. But, fuck me, crazy. So that's your quickfire news. It wasn't that quickfire because we,
fucking rambled we got, on.
Yeah, to put Rising Man deserved it, in fairness. What a freak show. So let's get into it. UFC 207 went down. This was the Fear to Return card. Great co-main as well. And at the time, champion Dominic Cruz taking on Cody Garbrandt. But let's talk about the card, opening it up there. We obviously done our fighter picks. We went from main card upwards there. And you'd have to say that Ray Borg, what a display he put on against Lou Smoker. What an absolute display.
Yeah, very, very good performance. I actually picked Smokey.
Yeah, you just did.
Big fan of Smokey. One of the better grapplers in that division, I think. One of the better scramblers. But Ray Borg, you could see, had a lot better grappling.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
And he put a beating on him as well.
Big time, I think, I can't remember the scores, but I think it was 30-26, wasn't it?
One of the scores, 30-26.
Yeah, because it was absolute. His groundwork and grappling was absolutely.
Unfortunately, he missed weight, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, he Kevin Gastelum.
Yeah, puts a bit of a dampener on
but, his But his transitions, just unbelievable. But Smokey, you got to give the Smokey as well. As much as a lot of it was defensive work as well.
But he's dead in there.
It reminded me a lot. I tweeted this. It reminded me a lot of the Paddy Hoolan Smokey fight in Dublin.
Yeah, yeah. But on reverse.
Yeah. This is a sort of a fight. You know when you get some guys and they come in and go, oh, it's great, but they're new to MMA. You know, these casuals or whatever. And they're new to MMA and they're sort of, hey, when it goes to the ground, not a lot happens. Watch that fight. And
yeah.
Because it was grappling jiu-jitsu at its finest. I really enjoyed that fight.
Me too.
Not that I was the only one out of us that picked it.
Yeah.
But Yeah. Now, I'm going to put the two of these up together as the one fight, because I want your opinions on it. So the first one, Neil Magny, Johnny Hendricks. And then the second was Kim against Zafedine. Did you just get that one right, both of them? What do we think of that?
No, the Neil Magny fight and Johnny Hendricks. I mean, again, Hendricks, we all know, missed weight. I think that should be a talking point itself. His facial expression just says it all, doesn't it? When he got onto the scales and his hands in his head. I mean, I personally think he should shave his beard off.
Yeah.
That might help a couple of pounds. Honestly, genuinely think...
I don't know about pounds now.
Pound, maybe.
Pound, yeah.
You don't know what he's hiding underneath there. it was a good fight and it was a good win for Hendricks.
Hendricks didn't win.
Didn't he?
No.
Oh, there.
You sure?
Neil Magny won.
You sure?
Yes, unanimous decision.
Who texted me saying he won? Because I only watched the highlights. You 100% sure?
Yeah, 100% sure. Neil Magny won the fight. For me, I thought Johnny Hendricks won the fight. This is why I'm open to discussion here.
It was a close fight.
Yeah, Magny at the end of two rounds landed some elbows and threatened with submissions in round one and three. Mm-hmm. But you could argue that Hendricks dominated the rounds. He had multiple takedowns in the fight. Yeah, a lot of people argue we didn't do a lot from the takedowns.
Yes, for me, I scored it from Magny because it was more of damage versus positional control. Johnny Hendricks controlled that fight,
yeah.
But I thought Magny just done a little bit more damage, and I kind of put damage ahead of positions. That's the reason why. But it was a very, very close fight. And I have to say, even though I wasn't that impressed with Hendricks' performance as a whole, he looked a lot better than I thought he was going to look, because his last couple of fights have been really bad. He missed weight. I was expecting him to show up there and probably get finished. And he stayed in there. It's kind of
a cheeky punt on Neil Magny by submission. Yeah. Oh,
that could have been, close. But yeah, he looked a lot better than I thought he would have looked. But I did score it for Magny slightly, but it was very close.
I disagree. I think, I know what you're saying. This is this age-old argument is, do you score the bout to the guy who controlled the fight for like 4 minutes, or do you give it to the guy who had a good 30 seconds?
Magny had...
I know Magny did, but whenever it hit the mat, though, Hendricks was in control. The fight took place where Johnny Hendricks wanted it. He took him down multiple occasions. So that's controlling the octagon.
He didn't pass a whole lot, though.
No, but
he didn't land a whole lot of ground and pound, whereas Magny landed some good shots.
What I liked about Johnny Hendricks, this is something we've spoke about loads of times previously. The likes of your Roy Nelson, your Dan Henderson. Roy Nelson's jiu-jitsu was probably one of the best in the heavyweight division, right? Dan Henderson's grappling is probably one of the best in the middleweight division or lightweight division. But they have this fucking home run of a fucking right or left hand. And they go to town on that. They go to the well too much with that. And Johnny Hendricks had that. But what I was saying about this, I'm really impressed by him. He's gone back to his basics. This is a must-win fight for Hendricks. He's picking him up. He's dumping him on his ass. He's putting him in his corner. He wasn't passable. He controlled it. The fight took place where Johnny Hendricks wanted it to take place.
Yeah, well, what I will say is that up until, I'd say, the last 40, 45 seconds of that third round I was scoring.
It was all Hendricks.
It was all Hendricks. Yeah. And I did tweet at the time that I can't bet on Magny anymore against a decent grappler, because he just gets out grappled all the time. But then he landed those big shots and he just edged it for me.
Right, so to flip it then beautifully, Kim beat Zafedine.
Yeah.
Kim, the only thing you could say about Kim was he was walking forward. The Korean zombie, just walking forward, walking forward, walking forward. Zafedine was picking him apart, landing the shots, technical strike, and landed. Now, I had Kim in Accumulator.
Yeah.
And I was there. Well, there goes the fucking bet anyway. You know, coming into the last furlong, John Anik, love you. Coming into the last furlong of the fight, I was saying, hey, there's the bet gone anyway. But yet they scored it to Kim.
Yeah. For me, I need to rewatch that fight. And that sounds like I disagree with that.
That is a cop out.
It is.
For me,
thanks, Dan.
I watched the main fight and the co-main. So, rest of the card, I need to watch. So
that's a cop out.
That's a cop out, Marvin Heady.
Fuck's sake.
What I'm saying is, right, your argument there from the other way was Magny done more damage, done whatever. Johnny Hendricks, I'm saying controlled the fight, went forward, lost it. But yeah, here's this one where it's Kim coming forward. Yeah. He was coming forward. Maybe it's because it was on the feet. They're scoring a bit. Well, he's the one pushing the action. But Zaffadine is known as a technical striker. He's not known as the home run shot. While Kim is more reckless in his coming forward, he just keeps coming at you. He's like Dawn of the Dead, hence the nickname. So that's why I wanted to put them two fights together. Yeah, they scored one for Hendricks. For Magny against Hendrick, and then they gave the fight to Kim. And I think everyone in the venue was shocked when it was called out to Kim. I think Kim was even shocked.
The first thing is that MMA judging is highly inconsistent. The second thing was probably different judges, so different styles of judging. But yeah, I need to rewatch that. But you know, from what I remember, I did score the Safadine, but. I did.
I scored Zaffadine. Yeah. Yeah, it was a close enough. Zaffadine was landing the pop shots and backing off. You'd almost compare it to when Nick Diaz was beaten by Carlos Condit. Condit was the one sort of on the back foot, but was picking him apart,
landing the better shots.
And Condit obviously got the nod because he's a god. But Zaffadine didn't get it this time round. So you know, it's interesting. Now you said you didn't watch. For me, this fight is being overshadowed. The performance is being overshadowed because what happened thereafter. TJ Dillashaw beating John Lineker. TJ Dillashaw looked unbelievable. His speed of his strikes, the speed of his takedowns. He was sort of doing a step-in sweep takedown. I don't know the technical name for it. It was absolutely beautiful takedown. Then did you see him going for the truck roll into the calf slicer?
The calf slicer, yeah.
Oh my God. TJ Dillashaw looked phenomenal. I'm going to say it. I think that was the best TJ Dillashaw I've ever seen.
Probably.
And like John Lineker. Fucking. Someone do a test on that man's fucking chin. Holy shit. Can he take a fucking shot. He landed a few on Dillashaw as well now. But TJ Dillashaw, man.
Yeah, it was a masterful performance by Dillashaw. Absolutely
unbelievable. Masterful.
And completely negated everything that John Lineker can do well. Didn't get hit at all. Maybe got hit once or twice.
You got caught once or twice, on the way out.
Didn't get hurt. He just dominated that whole fight. And I'm very interested in a TJ Dillashaw versus a fight we'll talk about in a minute. The Cody Garbrandt, who just won the title. But phenomenal performance with TJ Dillashaw. Absolute masterclass.
And his movement. Again, this is something we always talk about with Dominic Cruz, the likes of that. But TJ's movement and just his mixing up, like he was throwing shot like pop 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 at the jab, next minute you were on your arse, you'd get down under, you change level and the takedowns, and then even when he was on the ground he was making nice transition. He was getting, he mounted a couple of occasions, didn't he? He got lovely, beautiful transitions, and then just back to the feet, same thing, readjust, creating angles, getting in with unorthodox striking, and next minute again, just when Lineker think he's going to time him for shot, he's underneath that shot and take that. The closing of distance, the speed in his movement, like I honestly think any young fighter, these are the type of fights you watch. And again, obviously, Cody Garbrandt and Dominic Cruz will be one again. But just look at the movement.
Yeah. I think it's Brendan Shaw brought up on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about TJ and Dwayne Ludwig, his coach, saying that some fighters have gone to Dwayne Ludwig and it hasn't really worked out, but for TJ it has.
Yeah.
But he thinks that you really have to be, for Ludwig's style of coaching and the way he fights and the way he trains his fighters, you have to be really invested. You basically have to just go to him, stay with him for months. And
well, he moved there, didn't he?
Yeah, he moved there.
Well, this is the big thing, isn't it? This is why the whole Garbrandt alpha male thing, this is going to be.
But what I mean, do you think that you see that with great fighters who they stay with the one coach? They kind of get molded by their image. The same with DJ. DJ, same thing. He's been with the same coach, he's been molded by him. Do you think that's a thing where fighters who stay with the one coach and they just only focus on that is when they become great fighters?
Well, I get what you're saying, but what I'd say as well, like with TJ coming from Alpha Male, there's a great wrestling pedigree out of that gym with Uriah.
People forget that TJ was actually a wrestler because of his striking. Yeah.
So he's got, we're going to talk about it again in the main event. You look at TJ, his wrestling background as well, coming out of Alpha Male, who he's trained with. Alpha Male is a great camp, and it's sort of the smaller guy that's in Alpha Male as well. So he's a fantastic base. Like I'm sure TJ can go away for a camp. Like let's say this Lineker camp, and I'm not saying he did this, but he could literally go, don't have to work on any wrestling, because I've got that. This is in the back pocket. I've got the wrestling. And we'll just work on striking. And Ludwig would be perfect for him, like his movement, everything. It's just a perfect fit. And at the same time, you'd see it didn't happen in the fight. But let's say Lineker cracked him. What TJ Dillashaw has in his back pocket is, I'm hurt, wrestle. Yeah. And bang, and he can change it. But what he done beautifully in this fight, and that's why I said I think it was his best performance, is you didn't see the shots coming. He was changing. Like, I didn't think he'd take the takedowns when he go for him, but he just covered that distance so much.
Yeah.
So TJ just has a phenomenal base. Joe Rogan has always said that he thinks wrestling is the best base for MMA. Yeah. And he's got that in the back pocket, that if shit hits the fan, he can go back to it. But because he's so confident in his wrestling and ability, he can then look at his striking. And his striking, if you look at when he was in the Tough Household, to what he's at now,
it's different. It's different thing.
He's an elite, he's playing a different game at this point. 100% he's playing a different game.
Also, people need to remember that you're saying about him being dedicated to his striking, but look who he's training with. One of the top strikers in the history of MMA, even K1, you know?
Yeah.
Top. It's different going here. I'm going to work on my striking with my mate Jim down the gym and hitting a bit of pads and a bit of bag work and, you know, that. But when you're training someone like Dwayne Ludwig, that's world class there. And he, like you said, he invests his time and his interest into that fighter, because if they succeed, his gym succeeds, he succeeds. You know, it's a win-win situation, but
I really do think there's something there.
He's dedicated with the right person, I think.
Yeah, I really do think there's something there with the coach fighter thing, because like when you look at DJ and what he's done with Matt Hume, and even if you look at Conor, what he's done with John Kavanagh, he's been there from day one, and he's turned into a special fighter. DJ special fighter, TJ special fighter, and Greg Jackson with John Jones special fighter. You know, it's these guys who kind of develop with that coach, and they...
Ronda Rousey with Edmund.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey with Edmund.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
We'll get there. Your co-main event. We obviously had Robin Black on last week. We're talking about it. And Robin used a great analogy on a show there last week where he said, Cody Garbrandt is bringing a pointy stick to a gunfight in regards to mental trash talking. And I honestly thought, I actually done a sneaky bet here as well. I done a sneaky bet.
Yeah.
I done Dominic Cruz. I didn't do Garbrandt. I was very tempted. I even sent Rob a thing to say, I might do Garbrandt just to be different than all your picks.
Yeah.
I thought, because I was saying it to Kieran here, we were walking along the floor, and I was saying, if Garbrandt lands, he can put anyone's lights out. And that's what, being perfectly honest, that's the only chance I caught Cody Garbrandt had in this fight, was to land that one shot.
Proved that's all wrong.
My God.
Yeah, we bring it back to, you were talking about Robin Black. He said it last time as well. He was talking about the Ronda Rousey fight when he was on the show last week.
Yeah.
And he said that the amazing thing about MMA is we just don't know.
Yeah.
And we just didn't know with Cody Garbrandt. We didn't know where he was. And that's not really an insult to us or to anybody else, because everybody said it. We just didn't know what level he was at until he got there. And not that he's been fighting bad fighters, but he just hasn't been fighting that fighter. And we just don't know. Like, we didn't know that Cody Garbrandt could fight that well going backwards, because we've never seen it.
And that's what he did. He's got dance moves as well.
And he fought going backwards.
You saying we don't know, he mostly didn't know either until he got in there what he's going to feel like, if he's going to feel calm, if he's going to feel good, feel him out a little bit. He, as much as, you know, we say, every fight goes, I know exactly what I'm going to do. You don't know to the minute you stepped in. We don't know if he was going to have a bad morning that morning or on the way to the venue how he felt. But, mate, he put that, I mean, watching just some of the highlights of someone put something up for him taunting Dominic Cruz. Someone put something up today. It's like 3 minute long of him, his head movements.
Unbelievable.
Fuck. I mean, amazing. When you're watching and you're going, come on, Dominic, there's definitely a knockout shot there. Uppercut. So it's easy for us to sit there and say that, but when you're in there, it's something else. And just the fact that he was taunting Dominic Cruz, I think that just got in Cruz's head, and that was it. That's when he started trying to throw his big shots, and he's just moving out of the way. He could read him a little bit more better.
I think a big thing that Cody Garbrandt, it sounds so simple now in hindsight.
It always does.
But
yeah,
he let Cruz come to him.
Yeah.
And that was the big, big thing. He let Cruz, and you'd see Cruz would be throwing the feints and the fake step, and he was doing all these things, and Garbrandt wasn't reacting to them. Yeah. He was like, nah, fucker, you want to hit me? Like, come in and hit me. You're going to be in my range and I'll hit you.
Yeah.
And he made Dominic Cruz miss so much. And that's what Dominic Cruz normally does to his opponent. He makes you miss and then picks you off on it. And that's what Garbrandt done beautifully in it. And, like, his calmness, as in this was something like that that was spoke about, like, oh, is he going to get emotional? Is he going to get in? And then again, looking back, obviously, show coming up, you're looking at stats. Like, he came from a 32-2 amateur boxing pedigree, which his uncle was an Olympic fucking reserve, I think, for the American team as well. And like, he's coming from a good pedigree.
He wrestled in college at a high level.
Yeah, and he,
people just don't talk about.
Yeah, and as well, like, I was listening, was it Joe Rogan I was listening to? It was either Joe Rogan or Frederick King, I can't remember. And he was saying that he was offered the Division One, and he was like, no, I want to be a professional fighter instead.
I think that was Joe Rogan.
Yeah, but then you look at, like, just, it's when the stars align, man, they just align, and you see it happen. There's so many scenarios of it where things just happen for people, and to, like, Conor, when he beat Aldo that night, like, so many of these moments where it's things just align for you and everything falls into place. And Cody Garbrandt, like, as much as I'm going on about TJ Dillashaw, you know, beating John Lineker, best performance, like, the stars align for him that night, but, like, what the fuck else could Cody Garbrandt do in that fight that you could call that a perfect fight? Like, I honestly think, but that's more of a complete victory than, like, let's say, a flash knockout. Like, if one round, bang, there's a big shot, you're out.
Because you're seeing more. You're seeing his tools.
He completely derailed, pissed off Dominic Cruz, and was, you know, you could see Cruz, in a way, didn't have an answer for it.
And it wasn't just a striking. There was a moment in there where Cruz went for, I don't know, was it a right hook or a left hook, and he just changed levels. He was going backwards, changed levels, and took him down, and it was absolutely beautiful. Just two things about the fight. It wasn't a bad performance by Cruz.
No, it wasn't. Really wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Really good performance by Cruz against anybody else. Probably would have won that fight on the night. And second thing, I love in these type of fights where there's, like, a story playing out in it. Like, it's like, for me, the reason why the John Jones Gustafson fight was my favorite fight that year was because you had that story where John Jones went in, he was the big favorite, and he was the better grappler. He's just going to take him down and beat him. And then Gustafson took him down. John Jones couldn't take him down, and it went from there. In this one, it was like Cody wanted it in the center. And you could see,
he kept saying that. Yeah, every he kept time, going, no, back in here.
Every time. And it was played out all through the rounds. And then when he was talking in the post-fight presser, saying that he knew he was going to win, when he turned around to Dominic and said, "Are you having fun yet?" And Dominic didn't respond, even though he was responding. That's just, it's just, a time in a fight where you, like, just moments in each fight where you're just like, this is a special fight. It's a beautiful fight, and I love that fight.
And you gotta give kudos as well, kudos. You gotta give kudos. The credit to Dominic Cruz in his post fight interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Took it like a champion. Yeah. And this is where,
why aren't you sitting down?
Yeah.
Was it? Because I'm always on my feet, and it walks off.
Yeah.
Genius.
what I love about this is these three guys we've mentioned now, Dillashaw, Cruz, Garbrandt, there's a story in every one of these. There's the rematch with Cruz, Dillashaw. Some people thought Dillashaw was worthy of a rematch straight away. Some thought he'd beat Cruz. You've Garbrandt, Dillashaw, the whole alpha male leaving, the snake and all that, and it's all building. There's a great, great story in there. And hopefully Dominic Cruz, I'm interested to see what his plans are, you know, because he was obviously out injured for a long time, Dominic Cruz, so be interested to
do
see.
Do you find it interesting that Garbrandt hasn't mentioned TJ at all?
Yeah, it's again, he's called for Conor and Jose.
He's called for
Conor,
he's called for an immediate rematch with Dominic, he's called for Jose. Yeah.
That could be a snide as well, though. You know? It could be a snide as well.
Honestly, you could feel, it's a weird thing to say, but hurt, because they had that kind of, you know, team bond thing, and he left.
But even the build up to this, they were talking about the spars they had.
Yeah.
And Dillashaw was, well, yeah, I hurt you too, you know, and they were sort of back and forth. So there's a great story there. Like, there's a great story for Cruz with rematch. There's a great, like, if Cruz got a rematch, no one will go, oh, fuck's sake. If Dillashaw got the shot, no one would say, oh, fuck's. But, like, I just think, me, the romance and all that, Dominic Cruz, champion for so long, he was injured for so long, came back, watched Ring Rust, doesn't exist. I just think I'd like to see Cruz, Garbrandt go at it again, because I'd love to see what adjustments Cruz would do.
I'd love to see that too, but I'd love to see the TJ fight first.
Like, one thing I'd say about this, sorry Dan, I'm speaking of you, one thing I'd say about this as well, though, is what Cody Garbrandt has an advantage over other fighters fighting Dominic Cruz is, I think this is the sixth or seventh fight between an alpha male fighter and Dominic Cruz.
I've just been training for Dominic Cruz.
Exactly.
Forever.
So alpha male has just could be called alpha male, aka Dominic Cruz opposition. Because
took seven times.
But you know what I mean. That's a big nod towards Cody Brandt's team. that, you know, they can game plan a lot better than, for example, if you were fighting out of another gym and it was your first time fighting Dominic Cruz.
Of course.
So I'd be, for me, what would intrigue me with the rematch is, can Garbrandt do that again? And what adjustments would Dominic Cruz make?
And
before
you go, Dan, the great thing about that is, I wouldn't pick Garbrandt just off the bat and say, oh, you won the last fight.
No.
Because Dominic is so good. It wasn't a bad performance. And I can see him making adjustments to win that fight.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just what you were saying about the storyline. I just hope when the time does come around that the UFC take it and run with it and make it a big deal. You know, make it a big pay-per-view, make them the headline and just put a good storyline behind it, you know. I really hope they're doing, like you guys just said, I'm happy for either of them guys fighting each other. There's a storyline behind them. I really hope if it does happen, it's a main event, and they really pump them, their social media and the production right behind all of this, because, like you said, everyone likes a story, everyone likes to see a background, and this could be a big, big fight.
Can you imagine the UFC countdown are embedded with them? I think it'd be deadly.
I mean, maybe, speaking of story, the whole the kid Maddox, Maddox Maple, holy shit,
he's given him his belt, he gave him his belt. Young Maddox, he fought and beat cancer,
that's like, not that, you know, you can use that as a publicity thing, but like, just the whole story of Cody Garbrandt of what happened there, him win the title, you know, good looking bloke, all that. Chap could be a huge 100%, star,
like, 100%. Huge star. But no, it was a beautiful time, and you could see when I was like, well, we all know who won, because young Maddox had the black t-shirt with Garbrandt, you know, the champion's t-shirt. Dane had obviously given it to him and said, give that to Cody there. So now, in fairness, I think some people have said they thought it was a draw, but anyway, you could argue the point, we won't at this time, but just, it was absolutely a lovely touch, and you know, fair play to Cody. That was an agreement they made many years ago before Garbrandt was even in the UFC, so
incredible.
Yep, amazing. Moving on to the main event of the evening, your champion Amanda Nunes, the Lioness, taking on Rowdy Ronda Rousey. This was the return, fear the return was the hashtag. A lot of publicity and promotion was put into the return of Ronda. A lot of people, including Joe Rogan, were a bit disappointed the fact that Amanda Nunes was getting none of this highlights. Ronda got a clear slate to not turn up to do any media, which was obviously seen as weird, considering what happened to Conor McGregor as a precedent as well. So all that aside, you know, the music hits the speakers, and all of a sudden Ronda Rousey's back walking to the cage, and everyone's going, fuck, here we go, you know. The fight, Amanda Nunes came out, Bruce Buffer got him underway. 48 seconds later,
beat down. Boom.
Now,
I had time to watch this one, which was really good.
Well, in fairness, you could watch a gif of it. big thing I'd say, and I've spoke about this, we talked about the changing the hands of the belt and stuff in the women's bantamweight division. Yeah. And I had said, no, I didn't mean this in any disrespectful way. I had said MMA, the women's MMA division is almost like the men's division 10 years ago, let's say, where it was new, there's only a small pool of players, and it's ever evolving. And now, people might say you're jumping the gun when you say this, but Amanda Nunes looked like she was playing a different game to what Ronda Rousey was playing on Friday night. Everyone's saying, what was her game plan? Again, they spoke about this on Joe Rogan recap as well. I think her game plan went right out the window after about 10 seconds when she got cracked.
Yeah.
She was hurt from the first and second shot of the fight. And Amanda Nunes, this is one thing everyone has always said about Amanda Nunes. If you get first round, she's an absolute bull. Her shot, she's so long, but she hits different to every other woman in that division. She just hits different. She hits you with bad intentions.
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey's striking, I know everybody, I don't think the shit that's gone on the internet, I have to say it now, you know, people will always do it. I think it's not right. Women's MMA wouldn't be where it is without Ronda Rousey. She's an absolute, she got the UFC to sign women basically on the back of Ronda Rousey. But holy fucking shit, where the holes in her game showed. Since then, clips have come out of her shadow boxing, and it's only when you look at it again in hindsight, you go, what the fuck is she actually doing? This guy, Edmund, who is a fucking boxing coach, did you listen to the audio of his coaching on the night?
Yep. Desperation. Pure desperation, that was. Hold her. Clinch. You're like, what kind of fucking advice you're giving? And I'm going to say this. I mean, I've cornered a couple of guys, and I'm not the best coach, and I'm not the best cornerman by far by other people out there. But if my fight is getting lit up like that, don't just shout out, clinch, hold her. You give a different play. Okay, back off, move to your left, move to your right. You know, you give different instructions. And to be fair, must be Ronda didn't know where she was. What she was hearing anyway. But just hearing that audio really pissed me off. And I think for someone who's been in the game for such a long time, and has been, he has coached some good guys, and he's had good days with Ronda.
I disagree with you in some way there, Dan. He's coached good guys. They're not very good now. A lot of guys are at different gyms, and they've come to his gym, and all of a sudden you see the slump. There was a stat put up they've joined him.
I don't think he's had a fighter with a winning record apart from Ronda.
In MMA. It's peculiar to, it's easy to fucking fire shots when shit goes wrong, you think about it, a year and a half ago everyone thought Ronda Rousey was indestructible, she thought she was unbeatable. The game has evolved. Like I said, Amanda Nunes looked like she was playing a different sport to Ronda Rousey. Now, the only thing I'll say is, obviously the whole internet is focused on Ronda Rousey getting absolutely lit up, but it should be focusing on the person who lit her up. Nunes, holy fucking shit, unbelievable.
The thing with Amanda Nunes though, amazing performance, and she's a great fourth round fighter, but it's interesting because as far as in that division that I think will give her a tough fight, I think Holly Holm, if she drops back down after she's going to 40, I think that's a very, very good fight.
Distance would be a good thing because Holm will keep distance.
If Holm makes it out of fourth round, which I think she can because she has great fundamentals, she's good foot movement. Yeah. I think she could be a very difficult fight for Amanda Nunes. Yeah. I think Durandamine, who's fighting Holly Holm, they're going up one way, so if they come back down, that's different. I think Katsangano beat her before. That's an interesting fight. Yeah. Now, Amanda has got so much better since then that you never know. Again, we don't know. We only know in hindsight. But I think there's some interesting fights in there. But I do think that she is somebody in the fourth round in that division that you have to fear because she is incredible at finishing the fights.
And just to boomerang it back to Ronda, I remember when she beat Betch Gohea, I said, this is probably not a great thing for Ronda of a sudden now Ronda Rousey thinks she's a fucking knockout artist. Yeah. She's not. Yeah. Well, and that's what the point I was making with TJ Dillashaw. I was sort of intertwining to come back to this. Was he has such a good wrestling base that he can revert back to that in times of trouble. But Ronda has obviously such a good judo base. But when you look at it, her striking is that average. Not even average. I think average is a compliment.
Did you watch the Monday Morning Analyst with Luke Thomas?
No.
He replayed this video from, I think it was before or after the Betch Correa fight, where he was talking to some journalist and he was talking about Ronda Rousey striking, and he said that he brought in pro boxers. You've probably seen the video before. He brought in pro boxers and Ronda was dropping them with body shots and she was finishing them. And they brought in Gennady Golovkin and asked, oh, is there any tips they can give Ronda? And he said, no, our striking's great. Now, I don't know if he was lying about that or Golovkin was just being nice. And Luke Thomas talked about this. You should definitely check it out because it's very, very interesting. Mm. But there's no way that she was dropping pro boxers.
Not a chance in hell.
He said high level pro boxers. There's no way. No. But that striking, as Luke Thomas said, if you watch it, either she did, her striking has progressed something else, or he's lying because there's no way.
But look at her foot movement and everything.
Or what's taken as pro boxers though? What's a pro boxer? You could turn pro with one fight.
As far as I know from the interview, he said high level pro boxers. He was being disingenuous or lying completely, or for some reason she's great in the gym and she showed again as well. You do have to say that she did get hit very early.
That
will take technique out the window.
That is a big thing. And a lot of people the couch fans, like we are, in fairness, when you get hit that hard, just flash of lights happen, and all of a sudden you don't know where you are, panic station hits. But when you're fighting somebody like Amanda Nunes, when they hit you, they see that weakness and they fucking follow it up, and that's exactly what happened. I want to move on because we want to cover this illegal knee thing. What's next for Ronda Rousey? Is that it? If it isn't it, she has to get rid of Edmund, surely.
I don't know. I think that's on a lot of people's mind doing that. But before this fight happened, I said the white person for it should have happened for her to have not an easy fight, but a unranked fight.
Yeah,
you know, get back into it, see where she is at, see if she can still take a shot. She's not gun shy, and I'm really surprised that she wanted to stand there and bang. She threw a front kick. I mean, I would have thought she'd come in for a couple of shots. Angela,
we're losing him already.
Wade Ronda is, who knows? I mean, does anyone want to go on retirement from a loss? Maybe she'll come back and she will fight again. Who knows? I don't know. But the fact that she got paid $3 million allegedly to fight is fucking.
Well,
crazy.
In fairness, she is a huge draw. In fairness, like again, a lot of people tune in to watch it,
and it's great that they're making this amount of money. Mm. Anybody,
it is, but then when you look at the scale of Amanda, and I get it, she had been champion. But to be fair to Amanda Nunes, she when Joe Rogan asked her, and you know, what, you know, was you upset that the promotion, you know, it wasn't on you, and you know, you wasn't so much in the media. No, if anything, gives her more time to concentrate on what she's got to do. It's task at hand.
Did you see the fucking gangster going over and going?
Next for me, I do think that could be it. Couple of reasons, I think. The way you're saying that she should move away from Edmund, I do think that's true.
Like, and for me, when I'm saying that as well, Rob, I think she's got a very close affiliation. Well, apparently she gets on great with the Diaz brothers.
Yeah.
Go and fucking train with the Diaz brothers for 6 months. She's going to be a different looking animal.
I completely agree. But we know, we've seen it in the past. That's one devastating TKO and one devastating knockout in a row. That's two knockouts, basically, in a row. Is it too late? Not that it's too late, but that can really change a fighter. And she didn't look the same in there. When she got hit that first time, she didn't look like the same girl who got even hit by Holmes. She got hit by Holmes and she was still coming forward. She looked good. And that time, she got hit and she started moving backwards.
But I'll argue the fact with you there as well, though, that nobody else hits like Amanda Nunes.
That's very true.
Division.
But that's her. That's where she's
McMahon
aiming to go
said
to.
It, didn't she, after she got beaten by her? She said, I've never been hit like that.
Yeah.
Don't you think Ronda gave her too much respect as well? In the sense that she done the whole, I get it, during the fight. As soon as they touched gloves, I thought, hold on a second, you just touched her gloves. Like, I was expecting a stare down.
No, but then, I don't think she had any too much time to fucking think about it, because literally by the time the bell rang, she was fucking hurt.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not saying that being disrespectful. She got hurt. Yeah. You could always argue she got caught cold. Like, that's. Yeah. Joe Rogan said it. As it was happening, how's she going to cope with being in the cage now and waiting 4 or 5 minutes for Amanda Nunes to come down to the cage?
Yeah,
that's the. I think that's the first time ever that Ronda Rousey was ever in the blue corner. So she came out first. Yeah.
Well,
so
in the UFC,
So she came out, stood in the MGM, was it? Okay, whatever, stood in the octagon, waiting for Amanda Nunes to come down, and she had to stand there for 5 minutes and wait. Till it was all done, and then all the ceremony of the introduction and what's going through her head. She's coming back for the first time. What's going through her head? She might have been unfazed. She might have cooled down from her warm-up. Anything like that. And she might have been just caught cold. So, you know, there's other things. But I just genuinely believe she got hurt. I don't think the first couple of strikes hurt her and hurt her bad. And what game plan, if any, I doubt it was highly amazing with fucking Edmund. But I just think it all went out the window when she got hurt.
I think it all went out the window. And you have to, like, when people say, oh, why didn't she go for a takedown? She tried. She tried to clinch.
But it was such a weak looking takedown.
It was a weak,
it?
Because she got hit.
Oh, she was hurt. I'm sure.
Like, when people say, oh, she went in there, she striked her. No, she went in there and she striked her because Amanda made her strike with her.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Exactly. She couldn't get the clinch. It didn't happen. She tried to get the overhook. She always gets. Couldn't get it. Couldn't get it against Holly Holm either. So maybe these fighters have just figured it out.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah. As I said, women's MMA, for me, it was like it was behind and it's just catching up in time. Yeah. And I just think Amanda Nunes is the new female mixed martial arts, new breed.
Until the next one comes.
And again, like Gina Carano was in the early days, she met Cyborg, and now it's Cyborg's still a beast, if things are clear. But it's just, you know what I mean, it just moves on, and I just think with this one, the game is passed Ronda Rousey at this stage, unless she goes off somewhere away from fucking Edmund. The game has moved on and passed by. Other things I want to know on. Speaking on passing by, I have to tip my hat to Alex Garcia's knockout of Mike Poyle.
That was one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's been a good knockout. Yeah, that could have definitely topped the knockout of the year off.
Yeah. No mullet, no cushion for Mike Poyle. But it was some knockout. Brandon Thatch probably going to get his walking papers beaten by arm triangle choke by
just hasn't grasped the grappling, has he?
No, he's such a talent. But I honestly think go off, fight him wherever, and you know, come back. Look, I honestly think that's there. Yeah. Now, Dan, this is where we are going to get your opinion. So this is the referee's corner. Excuse me. It only took us a year to actually deal with this with Dan, so this is why, well, not why we have Dan, but let's use your expertise. Dan, obviously the first fight, I know it was a prelim fight between Tim Means and Alex Oliveira, where it was stopped after 3 minutes and 33 seconds of the first round. Tim Means kneed a grounded Alex Oliveira. A little bit of confusion came in on the broadcast where Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg called in Mark Ratner to clarify the rule set. Now, before we get you to speak on this, Dan, we're sort of throwing this one at you a little bit. You have experienced a similar sort of thing. So the referee at the time was Big Dan Morgliotta. Basically, what happened was it was called in. Dan said it was an illegal strike, wasn't intentional. We did not know. And it was ruled a no contest. Now, I believe Oliveira is appealing this. That it should be it should be a DQ. So before we're going to do that, Dan, we're going to lose you off the screen. We're going to tee you up a fight that you were the referee at Bama 25. I'm sure by saying this to you now, you might realise. So we're just going to shut up, let it play, and the audio. So for people listening, Dan will go through it in detail. I'm sure this is, you remember this, Dan. So Dan will have to go through this in detail. But if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it on the screen here. So play away there. Up.
Courtesy of Bama.
Courtesy of Bama.com, of course.
Extension happens from one of these athletes, but they're both so skillful it's almost impossible to see coming.
If I was Stapleton, I'd have another look at his man on the ground, because as you said, he got good position there.
Ooh, possible low knee. We're going to get a halt to the action.
Oh, Stapleton is all over the place, his legs.
And that was, I think, an illegal blow. What you've got to look at there is in those transitions from the floor to the feet. The big question is, first and foremost, are the feet planted? Are the soles planted? Yes, in Stapleton's case, they were. And then what you're looking for is a third point of contact, and that's one of the hands. I think that's what Daniel Mobohidi saw there.
Yes, and Lapillus, he knows it. But more importantly, Stapleton is still on shaky legs. And if we watch here, Chris, you'll see it clearly. He slips here, then Lapillus comes in.
Ooh, that looked really borderline. I want to see that one more time. That looked possibly to be a legitimate shot. I have to see that again in slow-mo. That looked really close. And, you know, when there's such a close level of timing, you've got
Stapleton's over. It's over. Stapleton has been called off. The medic was looking and saying, look in his eyes. He called Daniel Mulvihady over and said, look at his eyes here. Look at the eyes. And it's all over.
And Lapillus thinks he's done it to win it. I think it's probably going to be either a DQ or a no contest, depending on if it was intentional or not. We're going to have to take a look at how that ruling goes, but what an unfortunate turn of events.
It's unfortunate because it was so brilliantly poised, two such skillful men, so well balanced. He's saying, Lapillus is saying he's only 2 points gone. He's adamant. And his corner are fighting the same cause. They're both saying the same thing, and Lapillus is going, no.
That was so close. I mean, even in slow-mo, it'd have to be slowed down again twice as much for me to make an accurate assessment. It looked really close. Let's take a look one more time. Here we go. And taking a look how this transpired.
He
went
slips.
High and slips. That's a legal shot. That's absolutely a legal shot. Man. And you take a look at the action in the heat of the moment, you've got to make as quick and honest assessment as you can. Here we go, another angle, Malcolm.
Yeah, and he goes down and he comes. The hand comes up here. Chris.
I think that's got to be a legal shot. That's really unfortunate because obviously as that happened, Daniel Mobohidi was behind the two gentlemen as that transpired.
It's a legal shot as far as we're concerned here, in the fact that we feel that Lapillus has got a good cause here. But the referee has to make a split-second decision.
And that is a great difficulty without instant replay in combat sports on the side of the officiators. What a great fight that was. Two men in their prime. Over to Buddy Johnson, and we'll get the announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, this bout ended 38 seconds of the second round. And our referee have disqualified the opponent in the blue corner due to an illegal knee to a downed opponent. Therefore, your winner and
Okay, Dan, so there you are. That was Bama 25. You were looking beautiful on the screen, by the way. So, Dan, talk us through that. We obviously heard in the commentary booth there as well that they felt it was legal. So, again, this is something that exactly the same almost
exactly
with...
exactly the same almost.
Contradiction in this one sentence. But Goldie and Rogan were doing this on UFC, and obviously that was Chris and Malcolm there on Bama. So they were watching it. They did avert that you have a couple of seconds to see this, to make your call. So again, just from the referee's perspective, everything you just seen there, Dan, and obviously remember from the night just talk is true, the rule of grounded opponent.
Well, obviously, we're in 2017, so the rule of grounded opponents changed slightly, so I'll go through that in a second. But obviously, at the time, anything, you know, downed opponent is, so where you can't knee or kick an opponent to the head, is anything but the soles of your feet on the ground, okay? So if you've got one hand on the ground, you're a downed opponent, you can't knee or be kicked to the head. If you've got a knee on the ground, you're a downed opponent, and sure as hell, if you've got two knees on the ground in near enough a prayer position, you're a downed opponent. The problem was the French Lapalisse's corner, and I think I've heard it in the commentary, is this misconception of 3 points. Okay, so they were like, the cornerman was shouting at me, he had two knees down, but his hands weren't down on the floor. And you're like, okay, but that's not a downed opponent. He's a downed opponent. You can't knee him or kick him to the head. And they were like, yeah, but he didn't have his hands on the floor. And this is where the problem comes in. And, you know, we always go through the rules talk. We go to the change rooms, make sure they know the rules. And they knew the rules. And, you know, Lapalisse is a seasoned fighter. I believe it's his brother who's in the UFC as well, has made a couple of UFC appearances. So, and I like the commentator said, I had to make a split decision then, but it was 100% a downed fighter, illegal knee to the head. And, you know, if Martin was able to continue, which he saw me, I brought a doctor in, he checked his eyes and his pupil, and what it was is one of his pupils were smaller than the other one, and the doctor, that's a sign of head trauma. Obviously, on the doctor's advice, I called the fight off. If Martin was able to continue and the doctor said he is good to continue, I would have deducted 2 points off Lapalisse and the fight would have continued. But obviously, because he couldn't continue, he ends up in DQ. So that's old news. But the issue is the people still not knowing, not so much the commentators as well, but even the cornermen, it's still to this day, you still have people coming up to you and not knowing what a downed or grounded opponent is. And it is frustrating, and my advice to any fighter listening to this or any coaches listening to this, please watch the new rule sets of John McCarthy's that he's put out there on the website, on his homepage as well. It's give a clear example of, so now a downed opponent, instead of being 2 feet on the floor, where people used to play the game of fingertips on the floor. So now if you put your hand on the floor, you can still get kneed or kicked to the head. But some people still ask me questions. So if I put a knee down and I've got a foot down and a hand down, I can still knee to the head. No, the minute that knee goes down, it cancels everything out. You're a downed opponent. So anything but the soles of your feet and your hand, you're a downed opponent. And that's it. That's the new rule set. And it was frustrating seeing the UFC fight. Again, it calls into question whether it was on purpose, the knee, or was it accidental? You know, I thought it was on purpose. You know, he's drawing the knee back and he threw two clean knees, and he's right to appeal and to try to get a DQ. It can't be a no contest because it wasn't accidental.
100%. And again, like, we're not, you know, we use that example because it's you. We could speak about it. Yeah. We always find when we're talking to you, Dan, you obviously say, you know, I can only see, I'm a fan as much as you are when it's not you involved in the cage. So when it was you refereeing, that's why we pulled this this video out, because we knew you could speak about it directly because it was your call. And what a call. I remember being there on the night, if the sharp eagle-eyed of you are looking at that video, which is available on Bama's homepage on YouTube, you will see me sitting in a beautiful grey jumper, cage side. But I remember on the night when it happened, there was a bit of, you know, when it stopped, and you'd actually see me in the background explaining it to Anto what that, no, it was ground pound, yeah, and I'm going through it. Now, I'll be honest, when it happened on Friday, it was Friday. When it happened on Friday, I was talking to you, Rob, and as it happened, Ratner was going on. I was saying, oh, perfectly good. And I sent you a message going, did you not have 3 points down? And I was looking at it. So I, blatantly myself, when I was first watching it, was, yeah, 3 points. He didn't have 3 points. And then when I seen he was on both knees, yeah, and or it wasn't so as if, that's when I was like, oh, yeah, right, I can't. So in the heat of the moment, you know, I think people can react to it a certain way, and that's exactly what Rogan and Goldberg do, and that's why they called him Mark Ratner. Yeah. And I say Mark Ratner was like, oh fuck, shit, I'm not too sure, you know what I mean? And he just sort of said,
yeah, but you saying that about Mark Ratner coming in, he could have, you know, let's play a bit of devil's advocate, he could have been not watching the fight, he could have been 2 seconds, his mind could have been somewhere else. All of a sudden, like you said, they brought him in and he's like, oh shit, what's going on? The person that made the quick call, and you saw it, Dan Mergulotta, straight away he was in there. No, mate. And then you could even see Tim Means saying to him, oh, that's perfectly legal. And he was like, no, brother. he had the knee on the ground. He's not a downed opponent. What upset me is some people going on the forums, oh, with these new rule sets, that's perfectly legal.
Yeah.
Even with the new rule sets, it's not legal. And the new rule sets don't come until, well, what is now January 2017, which we wasn't in at that time. So it wasn't legal. Yeah. It just frustrates me. People, I think, just... as much as it is our job to give out to the public and to the fighters to educate them, obviously there's plenty of referees out there who I look up to who do courses, etc. You can go on there. But what I would like to see is every event, you know how they do the rules, basic rules, you know, no judging criteria, etc. Just have a snippet of a video where a downed opponent is, what's illegal, what's not illegal. And so just so the fans know, so you don't, you know, so the people watching it on screen are not like, okay, what happened? The minute I walked out of that cage after that Bama, a man of people asking me, oh, why did you stop the fight? What happened? Mm. But I was like, hold on, you must have been watching the fight. Yeah, but I don't understand, why did you stop it? Why couldn't it continue? So it's just a matter of educating fans as well as the fighters and the coaches.
Yeah, I think the problem is the wording of the 3 points of contact, which
it's not in there. Yeah, but the word's not even in there. Someone's come up with that, and it's just kind of boom.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason why that was brought up was because of the whole hand issue, where if you have your soles on the, you put your hand down, that's 3 points of contact, so that's why they said it. But the great thing is, that's gone now. So the whole warning and where that came from of 3 points of contact, that's gone because that's legal now. So it's if your knee is down, if any part that's not your feet are on the floor, your arse, whatever, anything, that's your downed opponent.
Yeah. So like I said, the new rule set, anything but the soles of your feet and a hand or a fist on the floor, you're a downed opponent. Yeah. That's it. So if I've got a fist down on the floor, I can get knee to there. As soon as my other hand touches that floor or hands or palms on that floor, I'm safe, you know. And you know, don't get me wrong with this. I'm sure, again, in the rules talk, I've got to let the fighters know exactly what's going on. There's going to be a few issues. I can see it. I can see it happening to not just me and other people. And I hope it doesn't. But hey, ref, I didn't know what rules we were fighting under. Then my advice to you is, you better make sure what rule sets you're fighting under, you know.
Yeah, well, I have to say, on the night, I remember, like I was saying earlier there, I remember when it happened and I was sitting talking to somebody and I tweeted out, what a decision. No bias because you're on the show, but it was like, no. And I don't mean you in general. Same with Dan Morgliotta, same with Herb Dean, Mario Yamasaki, Steve Mazzagatti.
Cecil Peoples.
But the same with all referees. You literally have less than a second to see that, take that in, absorb it and have a decision and make it. You don't have the luxury of looking up to the big screen, seeing a replay.
No.
So for that, it's when you really think about it, the pressure and what's involved on refereeing. And I'm sure you've felt over the years of doing it, you might have had a few questionable ones yourself, but it's great when you see it, like a referee at a high level like yourself, and they just, you know, to have the not the sternness, but you know what I mean? To have the fucking balls to say, no, this is it, and that's it, done. And then I'm sure, because I know, like, Malcolm and Chris are great guys, and I know they certainly weren't saying it. They're looking at it, and they're giving their opinion at that time of it.
Yeah.
Again,
you got, you know, they've mostly got someone in their ear hole,
you
know, from the truck going, oh, explain this, do this, say this, you know, like, you know, it all gets mixed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to see, you know, if there's not that a referee should ever explain themselves for the decisions they've made, whether it be right or wrong. You know, like you said, you've got a split second to make that decision. Whether you've made it a right one or a wrong one, shouldn't have to explain yourself there and then, because that's not the place to do it. Afterwards, so afterwards, you know, maybe someone should have got the reason why Dan stopped the fight and why it was illegal. Then he could have made it perfectly clear to everyone what the rule sets are, and all that would have been squashed.
They used to do that years ago in football. They used to interview the referees.
I think it's a great idea.
I find it doesn't necessarily have to be Dan Mergliotta, but it could be, like, you know, there
I like the way Mark Ratner, obviously he got it wrong, but they could have
somebody speaking on the behalf of the referees who were officiating that night. It could be Dan Mogliotti, but he could be talking about all the referees who were on duty that night. And they go, well, hey, you know, such and such done this, and why was that? You can go, well, the rule is and it'd be interesting, just like a scrum, like with the fighters, literally 5 minute thing. I think it'd be a great idea, and it clears it up for everyone, because it was weird. The internet blew up the other night when it happened. Everyone was talking about it back and forth. I messaged you straight away going, do you see this fight, what's the story? But no, it is, and like I said, that's why I was delighted when we had that footage, because it was very similar to that. It was an intentional knee.
It was exactly almost the same.
The same, but
again, like I said, with that virtually one, the whole thing exactly. But it's when like I said, when the corner men go, oh, but he didn't have his hands down, that's what frustrated me the most. I shouldn't be explaining this to you, like, right now you're in a title fight. You should have known that. That's your job. I'm doing my job. You do my. But what people just want to point out, what people don't realize, not on all shows, but most shows, especially the shows I work on, and if I've got a team with me, we always do a debrief, whether it be from the judges, whether it be from sometimes the commissioners, something they done, or we do. Or, you know, why did you make that decision? Why did you stop the fight then? You know, what made you give this? So you try to explain yourself of why you gave the decisions you did, or why you made the decisions or the choices that you did, which I think is good, especially when you do it in a team. You just get a chance to explain yourself and to make people understand why you made the decisions that you did. But like I said, it'd be nice to get a referee's point sometimes on the night. Maybe, like you said, maybe not Dan's, or even on the night of Bama. I'm not going to name no names. I had people going, oh, you know, how come you stopped the fight? It's just educating people. It'd be nice to educate people exactly what the rule is in the sport we're in.
And sometimes you just have to think logically as well. Like, if I'm sitting down on my ass, on my back in guard, my hands aren't on the floor, but I'm still grounded.
It's like when you're a kid playing lava. Remember, you weren't allowed to stand on your car.
Just because your hands aren't on the floor.
If your feet aren't on the floor, motherfucker, you're downed. But thanks for Dan again breaking that down. We apologise for throwing that video at you, because we might have caught you unawares with it. But we like to do that. Keep you on your fucking toes. So moving on, this is something I just sort of wrote down. So if you look at your breakdown, you'll be like, what the fuck does Noel mean? So I've just called it the year ahead, 2017. We got Ronda. Unfortunately, what happened with Ronda? She was one of the biggest stars in the UFC. Conor, apparently, according to Dana White, knocked Conor, is sidelined for 10 months. So this is just something I said. Who are going to be the UFC's golden goose now? Like, who's going to be the big stars? Maybe breakout stars or stars that are just going to burn brighter now in 2017. So, like, an easy one to jump at straight away, we've already spoke about it, is your Cody Garbrandt and your TJ Dillashaw. I honestly reckon they are going to burn very bright for the UFC. The storyline is there for a rivalry and for the thing. So that's just an example there. There's no need to go into it any deeper than we already have with them. So is there anyone who stands out for you lads that in 2017 they're going to rubber stamp and become the big pull, or the big, you know, the new, not, we won't say the new Ronda Rousey or the new Conor McGregor, but Dana White says it and looking for a fight. I'm out looking for the new Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey. But who that's already on the roster is going to have a year to remember?
For me, I didn't get a chance to talk about it. I think Paul Craig for the Scottish MMA. I think he's got good character. You know, I don't think he'll obviously get a title shot this year, but we could definitely make waves, and especially on the European side of UFC when they come over to Europe, he can make good noise. And he's a character as well, and that's what UFC wants. They want a character. You know, he saw his weigh-in all face painted and his kilt, etc. I think that's the one to look out for, and I'm interested to see where he goes from there.
Does that young guy over in Japan make a noise? He just knocked out some Crow Cop, that guy. He could be the next breakout star. No, I'm going to go with Max Holloway. I'm always talking about Max Holloway here, but I think that, especially considering what he has done in the last couple of months, the way he's kind of more outspoken, he's been kind of, he's been kind of shown who he is a little bit more. He's been calling out Aldo. He hasn't called for the McGregor fight, but I would love to see that fight again. But I think at the division...
So you're literally going to have to excuse me because I was flicking on something. I don't know what name you said.
Max Holloway.
Max Holloway, all right, yeah. I'm literally sitting here going, who the fuck's he talking about?
Yeah, Max Holloway. Yeah, I think that depending on what happens with that division, because it's a little bit weird at the moment, like, is Aldo going to go up to lightweight? Who knows? But if Max Holloway can secure that real belt and get the title, I think he could be a huge star that way. You know, the UFC haven't had a huge Hawaiian star since BJ Penn. If the UFC go to Hawaii, that's a huge event. I think Max Holloway has been, again, he's been outspoken. He's been competing the best he's ever been competing. He's been beating great guys. If he can get that title, I think he could be one of the next big stars.
For me, I'm going to go in the heavyweight division because I just love the heavyweight division. It's so much fun. No, I'm going to go with Francis Xavier the Predator Ngannou.
Oh, Ngannou. That guy hits like a truck.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, yeah, you can argue that he hasn't really fought the high level of guys yet in there. But this is what I mean. I think this is going to be a great breakout year for him. He's scheduled to fight Andrei Arlovsky later this month. And I just think, like, Arlovsky here is signing for me. Arlovsky is playing the ultimate gatekeeper in this one. You know, he's a guy who's been there, done it, and this is to see can he get to that level. Another guy, Rob, is a guy you always shout, fighting a legend as well. Yair Rodriguez. This could be a big year, for Yair. I just think there's so many, like, there's longevity guys there who, they're like Cowboy Cerrone is, you know what I mean? A welterweight have a phenomenal year. But again, touch similar idea. If you were Sean Shelby, because Joseph was no longer there.
Single tier.
Who? Yeah, single tier. Mike Goldberg. What match, what fight would you like to see?
What fight would I like to see?
2017, what fight would you like to see?
Oh, man. Gabby Garcia versus Ronda Rousey.
Gabby Garcia versus Stipe Miocic.
Oh, mate.
Stipe's too small.
Yeah.
I would like to see McGregor Diaz 3. Personally, I would like to see that, and I would like to see it maybe happen. I think we said this last time in Ireland, but obviously there's no stadium big enough. So maybe even if they bring it to England, that'd be all the Irish you guys would travel over, which would be pretty cool. That's a fight I'd like to see.
Well, no, I'm just still thinking here.
I'd love to see Max Holloway Connor, yeah. That for me is a big fight. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Holloway get the belt and for it to be a super fight as well. To say you have to be the champion to beat the champion, and Jose Aldo got given the belt, so that'd be one.
John Jones DC.
Yeah, John Jones Rumble I'd like to see.
Yeah. John Jones just
or Rumble in DC. Back on again. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. Again, it's there's so many fights. Like, it's just dream matchup wise. I'm really like, again, the TJ Dillashaw. I was so impressed with TJ Dillashaw.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. I want to see him again.
I'd love to see a rematch with Cruz Dillashaw. I'd love to see TJ against Garbrandt. I'd love to see a rematch with Cruz. And
I'd
Garbrandt
love to see Demetrius Johnson fight Dominic Cruz.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, good rematch.
Another just one
as a super fight.
Yeah. Another one I'd love to that I'm going to hitch his way here. Okay, we're going to go down through your champions. Okay, so your champions at the moment in flyweight is Demetrius Johnson, and bantamweight is Cody Garbrandt. Featherweight champion interim is Holloway, and the fake one is Aldo. Your lightweight champion is Conor McGregor. Tyron Woodley is your welterweight. Michael Bisping is your middleweight. Daniel Cormier is your light heavyweight, and Stipe Miocic is your heavyweight. So today is the 3rd of January, the 4th if you obviously it goes out. It's 3rd of January on recording. 31st of December 2017. Who's still champion?
Miocic.
Demetrius.
Joanna.
Oh yeah, I left the women out. That's terrible. Joanna and Amanda.
Yep.
Joanna will be, yeah. Yeah, Amanda, I think Amanda Nunes as well. I think Amanda's going to hold on to that belt.
Yeah, I'm going to hold Amanda.
I think people are going to struggle. So Demetrius, Cody Garbrandt, bantamweight, is he still going to be champion at the end of...
the fuck
2016. No. Okay,
that's so going to change, I reckon.
Oh, we should be writing this shit down. Where's Carl with his fucking faggoty letter book?
He's writing it down. He's listening. And he's going to write
yeah,
it down.
Carl, while you're listening, get out your little book and write it down. So flyweight, Demetrius Johnson, bantamweight, yeah. Cody Brand. You're saying no, Dan, yeah?
Yeah.
So who's going to be champion?
I don't know. Out of them three, I really don't know. Actually, it could be, I don't know. I can't see it holding. He could end up champion, right, again. But I can see it changing hands and then coming back to him.
Yeah, it could be one of those. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I'm going to say no as well. I'm going to say TJ wins it.
TJ?
Yeah, by the end of the year.
Okay. I'm not saying mine, you know, since I'm getting away with it.
Say yours.
Demetrius Johnson, yes. I think Joanna will be. I think Amanda Nunes will be. Demetrius, yes. Cody Garbrandt? Yes.
I knew you were going to say yes because we both went there.
Yes. Now, I was hugely impressed.
No, me too. Yeah.
You spoke about it earlier, Rob, when you don't know how someone's going to be until they're at level. He was in with fucking Dominic Cruz. It doesn't get better than Dominic Cruz. Yep. And he got in and he fucking wiped the floor.
I just think that fight with TJ is very interesting. I'd like to see how it goes.
Okay, featherweight champion. I know we basically have two interim champions at the moment in Jose Aldo and Max Holloway. So who was going to be the featherweight champion on 31st of December 2017?
No, I'm going to go with Max Holloway.
Max Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway.
But I'm saying Max Holloway, that I don't necessarily know if he's going to actually beat Aldo for it.
There you go.
But
now
he's going to be champion.
There we go. So we're all in agreement that Max Holloway will be champion. Lightweight champion at the moment is Conor McGregor. 31st of December. Is the Notorious still holding aloft the lightweight, or is he vacated for the welterweight?
I like to think so. I like to think he'll still be champ. To be fair, he might just have two fights in a year and that's it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I'm going to go. I'm going to say yes because
Who's he fight next?
I think he fights Woodley. I don't know why. I have that weird feeling.
Did you not see Woodley and Bisping, though?
Woodley and Bisping, huh?
Yeah, Woodley and Bisping. Yeah, 180.
No, for some reason, I see him fighting Woodley. I don't know why.
Yeah. Okay.
Some weird, strange reason.
Okay, so Conor champion. Welterweight, Tyrone Woodley.
Tyrone. No.
No?
No, I don't know who, but yeah. Again, one.
Dan, you're not
possibly
getting the idea of this fucking game. The idea is to say, if he's a champion, yes. If he's not the champion, who's the champion?
It's called the impossible game.
It is called the impossible. And you look back in a year's time and you go, Jesus, lads, we know fucking nothing. I'm going to go, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson will be the champion end of the year.
Yeah, I'm going to say same.
Michael Bisping, middleweight champion.
Fuck me. If he keeps that title... Fair play.
He might keep it by avoiding the title fight.
I'm going to say no.
No, I'm going to say he's going to keep it.
Holy shit.
Fuck it. Yeah, why not? Jacare. He's surprised us so far, isn't he? So.
Jacare Souza will be the middleweight champion on the 31st of December 2017. That's my call.
Okay.
Robert?
I'm going to say he's not going to be champ. And I'm going to say Luke Rockhold.
Ooh, beautiful really? Luke Rockhold. Daniel Cormier is the current light heavyweight champion. Will he be the reigning champion on the 31st of December 2017?
No.
I think Johnny Bones comes back.
Anthony Johnson.
Anthony Johnson.
I think Johnny Bones comes back.
John Jones. If John Jones can come back and be...
Then he knocks somebody down and loses it.
No, but if John Jones can come back and be in control, Jonesy's the man. Out of competition, he's like, will he get a title fight? Just thinking about it, he's back in July, so he's not going to get... Apparently, Anthony Johnson and Cormier are waiting for one another because of the injury, so he's not going to get him in July, so he's probably going to fight...
October, November.
Gustafsson, if Gustafsson's still around, and then it'll be October, November, so will he get it in one or two? If DC or Anthony Rumble comes out unharmed, will he get a title fight by the end of it? Yes, and he'll be the light heavyweight champion. I've talked myself into it. Mm-hmm. Now the heavyweight division. Stipe Miocic.
I think he's going to hold on to it. Yeah, I think he's going to hold on to it.
I like Verdum. I can see Verdum doing it. I don't know.
I'm going to go with a brash one here. Roy Nelson will be the heavyweight champion.
Oh, fuck
No.
Fedor's coming over to the heavyweight division. After his fight with
the thing with the heavyweight boys is they only fight so often.
Yeah.
So if Stipe was the fight early in the year. He could be literally out till near the very end of the year. And then maybe have a Verdum, Stipe.
Cain Velasquez. You can't sleep on Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, but he's fucking always injured.
You can't sleep on him, though.
He's fucked.
Yeah, he is fucked. What about Junior Dos Santos making a bite back at it? But Ben Rothwell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. As much as I'm saying,
what a stupid game this is.
It's not. Yeah. It's not as stupid.
Anything could happen in MMA.
Nah, fuck. I'm gonna go. Stipe will still be the champion just because they'll be inactive. He's a really good striker. I think he beats one at the moment. My man that I'm saying for a breakthrough here, Ngannou is. I think at the end of the year, it'll be too quick for him. But I think he's a potential future champion in the heavyweight division. Now, what's going to be the biggest change in the UFC with the new owners? What's going to be the big fucking mad story? This is just off the wall shit.
Yeah, this is going mental.
New TV deal, I think. I don't know. And they're doing a new TV deal. Yeah. I think that's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, they'll get rid of the Reebok fucking deal. That this year,
isn't it? And no more Ultimate Fighter. Well, that was a rumour a couple of months ago that it's going to stop doing that, right?
Yeah. Who are they going to sign? Who's going to be their big signings? Tom Dukuma?
Maybe.
Yeah.
What about Tom Dukuma? I'll like to see him in there. How do you think Tom Dukuma is going to fare in the UFC weight division?
Well, he's already training with some of the guys who are already in the UFC, and he's in obviously at Greg Jackson's camp.
I think top five could be.
And again, you're mixing him into the mix there. What we're talking about with Garbrandt and all them. So
Tom Dukuma, a champion at the end of the year. Imagine.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that?
Fuck it. Let's say it. Tom Dukuma, the bantamweight champion. Yeah. Well, why not? Give us one big thing that UFC will have or will not have. Or will here's one. Will Joe Rogan be in the UFC December?
Yes, that'll be a last show.
Last show.
Yeah. So he bows out.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Okay, and who is the main event of Ryzen New Year's Eve show?
I told you, Gabby Garcia versus, I don't know.
Alistair Overeem.
Yeah, or something. Or who's Uberim. The guy who fought, what's his name? Who fought Don Fry. There's Takayama? Rock and Suck'em shot.
Oh, yeah.
Takayama.
Tom, the big huge guy.
Yeah, Takayama.
Yeah. There we go. That's going to be it. And he's mostly 70 years old now anyway.
This show's gone off the rails.
Yeah, so we're going off the rails. I'm going to wrap her now. So look, you've a couple of upcoming shows here. We're going to speak about it a little more as well. We've Cage Legacy coming up. It's the amateur show on the 11th of February, I think I'm right. We'll speak about more with that. We'll have Declan on, Declan Kennedy promoter on. A lot of top amateurs are fighting on it. So that's your first show here in a long time, actually. So that's on, and then I know they're doing a pro show as well in March. So we'll have more stuff on with that. We'll have more fighters on. So obviously, again, check us out on the YouTube where we're showing your videos. Obviously, Fight Talk. Hit that subscribe button. Don't be a scab. On Facebook, like, share, review. iTunes, do the same things. @talk_fight on the Twitter. Thanks to Fight Star Ireland, the fighter's choice, as always, sponsoring the show with MMAMix.com. They're obviously good.
Because we've obviously fight talk.
See, Dan's got it. So, that's your show. We trail off at the end, but you're fucking... That's what happens when you run out of fucking topics and you just talk fucking shite with your mates. So, we've been out, and peace.